when God decided to love you, he wasn't content to sort of love you at a distance. He wanted to get up close when that happened, which is why Christ took on human flesh.
Pastor Hans Feeney of Lutheran Satire talking about his presentation at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
But even after Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father, God still wanted to dwell with you through the flesh and blood of his Son. He wanted to be physically present and in the room when he covered you in forgiveness and life and salvation. So that's why he's given his church the Lord's Supper, and that's why we should rejoice every time God comes into the room and invites us to feast on the same flesh and the same blood that won our salvation at Calvary.
You can meet and hear Pastor Hans Feeney making the case for the Lord's Supper at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
The problem isn't that journalists hate religious people. They actually love religious people whose doctrine basically agrees with the editorial page of the New York Times.
I would say we should be very cautious in shifting from freedom of religion to freedom of worship, which ultimately becomes a facade of freedom.
It's frustrating for me that the Lord says that faith is waiting. Isaiah 40 says those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, so that part of our faith is waiting with patience while the Lord's slow clock ticks along.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
This Muslim commemoration, it moves around the year. Sometimes it's in the summer. This year, it's definitely in the spring. In several days, Ramadan, this holy month for Muslims, begins. What exactly are Muslims worldwide commemorating when they spend this month fasting and doing other things called on, or that they're called to do by the Prophet Muhammad and by the Quran and the other holy writings of Islam? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from Concordia Publishing House at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis on this Friday afternoon, May the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Ramadan with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, author of several books, including The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam, and The Triumph of the West. A little bit later, Dr. Christopher Mitchell joins us, editor of the Concordia Commentary Series. We'll go through some biblical principles for interpretation. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got four soundbites lined up for you on this Friday afternoon, one from Dr. Ryan Anderson, one from Pastor Paul McCain, one from Dr. Joseph Hurl, and one from Pastor Peter Bender. We'll play those four sound bites for you, and when you have listened to them in about an hour and a half, you can send your vote for soundbite of the week to us via email. Yes, we can still get it right here, even though we're broadcasting remotely. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send it to us via Twitter @issuesetc, or you can also leave it at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to talk about the holy month of Ramadan for Muslims, Dr. Alvin Schmidt. He's professor emeritus of sociology at Illinois College, author of several books, including The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam, and The Triumph of the West, and The American Muhammad, Joseph Smith, founder of Mormonism. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
What exactly are Muslims remembering, commemorating during the month of Ramadan?
Well, it's primarily a month of fasting for 29 and a half days, which is the average length of a Muslim month compared to our 30 or 31 days. So this is what they do from sunrise to sunset. They fast for those 29 and a half days, 30 if you want to round it off. And during that time, they're not supposed to eat or drink. Then they come the evening, they are able to then drink and eat and sort of stop the fast, which again has to begin a few hours later the next day. And interesting, when they do this, there are interesting data available relative to Muslims. Apparently, this may be surprising, some gain weight during the month of Ramadan when they're supposed to fast. And why would that be? Well, because they tend to make up for the fasting when they can break the fast after the given time of the day when it's permitted again till the next morning when the sun rises.
So let's talk about kind of when it occurs and why it begins the way it begins. It begins in several days. What signals the beginning of Ramadan for Muslims?
Yes, what signals it is the first visible appearance of a crescent of the moon. And given that that's not always totally consistent from one place to the next, there is sometimes a variation of one day to the other as to when Ramadan starts. But every month, the Islamic calendar starts with the first visible sign of the crescent that you see in the sky.
What importance does the moon play in Ramadan other than a timekeeper?
Well, the whole religion of Islam revolves about the moon. You know, the moon or the crescent, which is part of the moon, serves as the symbol for most Islamic countries in one form or another. And it's we have, for medical purposes, the Red Cross. They have the Red Crescent, which is another example of how they are dependent upon the moon. And as I discuss in the book, The American Muhammad, for example, where I compare Joseph Smith to Muhammad, there is a lot of good evidence that basically Islam developed out of moon worshippers, and that Muhammad himself to some degree was given to worshiping of the moon, and that's why the moon played such a prominent role.
There's even a legend, isn't there, regarding Muhammad that the moon came down and passed through his sleeve or something like that?
Split the moon, yes, all these kinds of facts. These are mentioned in the Quran. And the Ramadan, the name of it such, and the month of it such, supposedly, according to Islamic literature, occurred in 610 when Muhammad was about 40 years old and received the first revelation from Gabriel, however you wish to pronounce it, while he was meditating in a cave called Cave Hira, and was told to read, and he said, "I can't read." The reading basically meant the word Quran. And then finally, he received his main revelation there, and basically that's described in the second chapter, 185th verse. So this is basically the supposed origin of it, whether that really happened or not. There's no historical way of documenting this all. This is basically part of the Muslim theology, because after 610, Muhammad, for another 3 or 4 years, was not involved in really promoting the religion of Islam. It really began in about 614 rather than 610, where he supposedly received his first revelation.
So the time of Ramadan moves around the year because they have a lunar calendar, and it's a different lunar calendar than what we would call a strictly scientific lunar calendar. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, they have the lunar calendar. We have the solar calendar. And the difference is that the Muslim calendar has 11 days less in the Muslim year than does the solar calendar. And every given holiday, whether it's the Ramadan or any other holiday in the Muslim calendar, will occur each year 11 years earlier than the previous year. So next year, Ramadan will begin April 24 rather than May 6, or if you will, technically it happened May 5th in the evening with sunset, so which day you want to suit is okay.
It is considered, the observance of Ramadan, considered one of the five pillars of Islam. Tell us about those.
Yeah, the five pillars, for example, the first pillar is called Shahada, which is basically a confession where it says that God is God, or Allah is Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. That is repeated usually three times each day by a faithful Muslim, first thing in the morning. Then the second pillar is what is called zakat. Zakat basically refers to the prayer obligations that individuals have to pray five times a given day. Pray first in the morning, then at noon, mid-afternoon, sunset, and one more time later before retiring. So those are the five periods of a day a Muslim is supposed to pray, and that then completes, if you will, the second pillar of Islam, which is Zalatra. Then comes Zakat. Zakat is the pillar that emphasizes basically the matter of Muslim charity. And Muslim charity, usually not known to the public, but pertains only to Muslims in need, not like it is in Christianity, where you give to people outside of your given religion. In the Muslim religion, it is confined only to Islam. So that's the third pillar. And then the fourth pillar pertains to what's called Shaum or Sham, basically refers to the matter of basically praying again, and also to underscore and emphasize the importance of Islam. The fifth pillar then is the pillar of Hajj, where you're supposed to, each Muslim in his life is supposed to take a trip once to Mecca, and that would be completing the Hajj. And the word Hajj basically refers to a traveling episode, a part of Islam. So those are the five pillars, and Islam rests on those five pillars.
We're talking with Dr. Alvin Schmidt about Ramadan that begins in several days. Dr. Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of several books, including The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam, and The Triumph of the West. When we come back, we're going to talk about what fasting is for Muslims and how, different than many other religions, these observances for Muslims are not necessarily spiritual activities. They are purely outward observances. Stay tuned.
Concordia Publishing House's Spring Warehouse Sale is both online and in-store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. from Friday, May 3rd through Monday, May the 6th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's Spring Warehouse Sale, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's Spring Warehouse Sale, May 3rd through the 6th.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
St. Jacobi Lutheran Church in Shawnee, Wisconsin has a special guest each and every week. It isn't you, but it is Jesus Christ. He is a guest, and he is also the one who comes to serve you with his preached word and his broken body and shed blood. You are invited to be served by Jesus on Saturday evening at 6:30 and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Visit www.stjakobi.org for more information.
If they were to rule to say that it does include sexual orientation and gender identity, we would see what's been happening at the state level and what the Obama administration tried to do in its last few months in office.
No, not so, dear brother. I did not point you down that path so that baptism should grant the liberty to sin. Quite the opposite.
This is great music, to be sure. But even more, it is great theology.
To stray from God's created order and God's created design then becomes a direct attack on the triune God of love in whose image we are made.
In the next hour of Issues Etc., we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Those four soundbites will be played for you in their entirety, and after you've heard them, you can vote by sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in hour two of Issues Etc. In the meantime, we're talking about the Muslim observance of Ramadan. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest, professor emeritus of sociology at Illinois College and author of several books, including The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. Dr. Schmidt, what is fasting for Muslims? For Christians, it is a spiritual discipline. It's an observance that Christ not only practiced himself, but also recommends for his disciples. What is it for Muslims?
In part, it's a spiritual effort as well, but the emphasis is not so much on spiritual aspect of it, because fasting, as you know from the New Testament, you had Christ fast for 40 days, and the fasting was very common in the Old Testament, which was not the kind of fast that Muslims have, namely only for part of a day. So it's very different in that regard. At the same time, it's also supposed to discipline Muslims. They're supposed to pray more. They're supposed to be more faithful in reading and memorizing the Quran. That's part of the expectation of the month of Ramadan. And it's supposed to also basically create more solidarity among them and basically to promote, if you will, Islam goals, Islamic goals.
So these five pillars we were talking about before, one need not really have any, their heart need not be in it. These can be mere outward observances, can't they?
It can be very much that way, exactly. In other words, we in Christianity, particularly as Lutherans, we emphasize that you must not only observe the outward acts, but your faith must be involved in the two. In fact, as you and I know, we have a Latin term that we still use, ex opere operata. In other words, you don't just get a benefit by performing the act. You must also believe the benefits of the act that you are performing or required to perform. And so, in other words, that is not part of Islamic theology, if I may use that term, or at least not part of their religious teachings.
Why has Ramadan become so prominent, not only in the in the kind of identity of Islam, but it kind of has become the observation that most people know about when it comes to Islam?
For the most part, because the media promotes it in for the last 20 years particularly. Previous to the year 2000, 2001, you really in this country, even on the news, didn't hear about Ramadan. It is a post-2/9/11 phenomenon for most parts. So Muslims get an undue attention. They get an undue attention, for example, that they are not supposed to be criticized. They're not supposed to mention, for example, that the Quran has a lot of violent passages in the present tense. And many ways, Christianity, for example, is criticized, but Muslims are extolled, and its religion is basically off limits relative to any criticism. You see it all the time. For example, you just have to look at the computer. Just, for example, this Facebook just yesterday basically took off three individuals because they were criticizing certain aspects of Islam. It will never happen if you do this to Christianity. So there is I would argue that the attention that is given to Islam today, which was not there 20 years ago, is basically a in-your-face Christianity. Christianity is being slighted, it is being accused of all kinds of things, and in spite of the fact that Islam still veils women, in spite of the fact that they are totally opposed to homosexual behavior, is never mentioned, it still extol them and honor them. If Christians did those two things in the manner that they do, you would hear about it every day, I would say more often even than once a day.
Are there differences in the observation of Ramadan or other Muslim practices between the different sects of Islam?
Basically, well, you have the two major sects, the Sunnis and the Shiites, and basically both of them have pretty much the same emphasis when it comes to Ramadan. Then the more spiritually minded individuals are perhaps a little bit less involved in the outward appearances of the particular aspect of Ramana. But for the most part, Ramana is pretty much a unifying term and concept among all Muslims.
But that doesn't mean that we would find Shiites and Sunnis putting their differences aside during
No, not at all. They would certainly know. That's exactly, it's a good question. None whatsoever. They would simply just, in many ways, reinforce their differences by themselves.
So in the Muslim household, it sounds like with sunup begins this period of fasting. Then when night begins, or when the evening falls,
sunsets,
then that period is completely over. Then it's essentially a party.
Yes, and it is. And it is. This is why I mentioned a little while ago, this is why a lot of Muslims ironically gain weight during the month of Ramadan when it's supposed to be a month of fasting.
And do they quibble over how you detect the beginning of night and day the way that, say, Orthodox Jews often, at least in rabbinic history, will be very careful about the beginning of Sabbath and the onset
of my knowledge, no. Basically, they seem to allow, unconsciously, I think, a slight deviation from exact time of a day to start or to cease the fasting process.
You had mentioned this before, but I'd like you to expand on a little bit more. You had mentioned that since 9/11, Islam has really kind of had some of the best PR. You wouldn't think it would be, but it's had some of the very best PR. Why do you think this is?
Well, because I think we live in a day and age of cultural contradictions, and that's one of them. And it's detrimental to our own society, for example, to promote Islam, given the 1,400 years of history when it's been given to violence. Just take a look at southeastern Europe, what happened back 1,000 years ago. And so this is basically a cultural contradiction, and we're ignoring the history of Islam because it's not politically correct, and that is the driving basis underneath of it all. If it's not politically correct, you cannot say it. And for what I am saying at the moment, it's certainly not politically correct. In fact, I've had it happen on interviews where I'd be cut off just to begin to mention it. You cannot mention that Islam, for example, that the Quran says, you know, do not make friends with Christians and Jews. We know that when you pray in Muhammad, you're supposed to look to Mecca, to the east. Initially, he began to have them look toward Jerusalem, but the Jews turned their back on him, and so he switched away from them, and now you do it to Mecca. And ever since then, there's a tremendous hatred, Muslims hating Jews. You see it in what we call Palestine, old Israel, so supposed to call it. And that's why Islam is anti-Semitic. And even that is in our media downplayed.
Why do you think that is?
Again, the same way, because they want to honor Islam. And I can think of no other ways, because if we honor Islam, we are obviously slighting Christianity, and I would argue that is really the main goal.
When we see politicians, sometimes it has been even presidents of the United States, either acknowledging the beginning of Ramadan or in some way kind of bowing to its observance. I don't think they observe it themselves, but they'll put symbolism in the White House or something like that in order to signal that they recognize this. How would that be viewed by devout Muslims, that a Western or perhaps even someone who's nominally Christian?
I don't know, but I suspect that a good number of them would know this is simply a political ploy on the part of the Westerners that are doing this, somehow just to enhance their position where they are and to appear tolerant. This is how it would be viewed. You know, Muslims do not love non-Muslims. In fact, this is why the Quran is filled, that you should kill them and harm them, etc. So there is no such thing as a Muslim that is supposed to love and be tolerant to a Christian. If he does that, he's really anti-Islamic.
For the rest of the year, other than the month of Ramadan for Muslims, is there any other occasions of fasting called for?
Not really, no.
So you can kind of check your fasting box,
right,
as a Muslim if you observe Ramadan.
Right, right.
Are there any consequences laid out in the Quran for a Muslim who breaks Ramadan or doesn't observe it?
None in the Quran. There may be used in certain areas, for example, Pakistan or otherwise, where the government may be involved or interfered, but I don't know of any particular citation.
Finally, Dr. Schmidt, what would you say is the biggest, there are many differences, but what is the cardinal difference between Islam and Christianity?
Well, Christianity is a religion of grace, that you and I believe and accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who suffered and died and rose from the dead. And it's, as Paul says, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Islam, it's a religion of works. You will become right with Allah if you become right at all, and even there's a lot of question if you read the Quran, by following the dictates in the Quran or what is written in the Hadith, which are the traditions of Muhammad.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College, author of several books, including The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam, and The Triumph of the West. You can find out more about that book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Schmidt, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks a lot for having me, and it's a pleasure to talk to you and interact with you.
When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Christopher Mitchell. We'll be discussing principles of biblical interpretation. I'm Todd Wilkin. This Issues Etc. is live this Friday afternoon, the 3rd of May, and we're coming to you from Concordia Publishing House at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. You can come out and join us. We'll be here till 5 Central. CPH Spring Warehouse Sale began yesterday and runs through May 6th. You'll find great savings here at their bookstore in St. Louis. On the links to the CPH warehouse sale at our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Christopher Mitchell joins us on the other side of the break. Sometimes we think we just open our Bibles and begin reading, but a little guidance is in order. The Bible is a complex book, not too complicated to be understood, but there are some basic principles for reading a Bible that we need to know, and we'll go through them on the other side of the break.
Come, Holy Spirit, Lord and Comforter, with words of truth our feeble faith assure. These words open Mark Preuss's new Pentecost hymn for the Lutheran Church, available exclusively in the Lutheran Witness. Grab the May issue of the Missouri Synod's flagship magazine and dig into what the Bible and Lutheran theology have to say about the Holy Spirit, who He is, how He works, and what He wants for your life. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Be strong and courageous from Joshua 1:9 is the theme for the 41st academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. Divine Savior Lutheran, Divine, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Mount Vernon, Washington. Lamb of God Lutheran, Papillion, Nebraska. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. And Mount Calvary Lutheran, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.